Let's open our scriptures to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15. Yes, they want to build a temple of, is it Baal? Yes? Okay. But our Christ has taken the lead. Hallelujah. Yes. He took the lead over 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 15, verse 16. You know, in the previous verses, when we start from verse 1, it says, certain men from Judea came to the brethren in Antioch. And it says, they were saying, unless you are circumcised, according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. You see, they were Jews who had been converted. And they came to Antioch, where Paul and Barnabas had been doing great work. And here you see the class. The class thing coming up. If you are not circumcised according to the law of Moses, then, no, you can't be saved. And so, this brought a whole lot of controversy in the church. And so, they went to the headquarters of the church in Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas. They went, and after much deliberation, I believe it was even take place. Peter stood up, and Peter narrated how the Holy Spirit revealed unto him one day when he was, you know, sort of sleeping. He had a vision about something coming down with a whole lot of unclean animals, and the voice told him to eat, and he said, no. And immediately that vision ended. Three people, you know, Peter understand the language three. You know why? Three times you will deny me. Three times the cock will crow. Three times I ask him, do you love me? You know, that's the language he understands. So the vision came three times for him to know that, yes, this is God speaking to me. Hallelujah. And then he told the meeting how God has, you know, also opened the gate of salvation to the Gentiles by going to Cornelius and baptizing Cornelius, yeah? And then, there and then, the Holy Spirit also fell on Cornelius. So this thing became a major issue in the early church. But we are not going to talk about that. We are going to talk about something that James spoke about when he was concluding the matter. And in verse 16, let us unfold him, so that we'll get it a bit clearer. Simon has declared how God has first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophet agree, just as it is written. 16, after this I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, hallelujah, which has fallen. And I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up, so that the rest of mankind will seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. Brethren, what is the tabernacle of David? Yes, our sister Zoe is telling us, people want to build a temple for God. Yes, let them build that temple. The temple of David has been rebuilt in the name of Jesus. It has been raised in the name of Jesus. And we will see how it was raised, brethren, in the sermon. Let's learn a bit about tabernacle. You know, when God called the people of Israel from Egypt, he took them into the wilderness. And it has always been God's idea. That is his nature, to be in the midst of his people. Like we read in Matthew 18, that when two or three are gathered, he is in the midst of them. If you study carefully, when the people of Israel were in the wilderness, the way they were camped, you will see that he always wants to be in the midst of them. You see, it was like a cross. Judah was in the east. I think the north is now where Dan. And then the west, we have, one of the tribes. You see, and then the south. You see, brethren? 1, 2, 3, 4. And the tabernacle of God was in the midst. So, when you are standing on a hill and you look down, you will see the nation of Israel in the form of a cross. And Judah is the largest tribe. So, Judah's portion is longer than the rest. So, you see the cross there in the name of Jesus. The cross took long, long time before the earth was created, brethren. This concept, this, that look, the tabernacle of David will be raised in the last days. And when that tabernacle is raised, many Gentiles will be saved. Many mankind will be saved. We know the first tabernacle that was built was by Moses. These are the major tabernacles. During my research. Let's look at Exodus chapter 27. Exodus chapter 27 and verse 9. You shall also make the court. I'm reading from the New King James Version. All throughout. You shall also make the court of the tabernacle. For the south side there shall be hangings for the court, made of fine woven linen, 100 cubits long for one side. If we can picture the tabernacle as we see it in our Bibles or in the pictures, it's made up of like a wooden structure. And everything that was used in the building of the tabernacle meant something, has a meaning. I'm not going to go into that. That will be for another sermon, brethren. I promise you that. The silver, the gold, and everything that was used in building the tabernacle was something that has meaning. But here, let's look at the tabernacle. And we have the Holy of Holies, as our brother read in the Bible reading. That was in the inner, the Holy of Holies. In there, the priest goes in once a year. Once every year, he goes in. And even when he's going in, a rope is tied to his leg, so that in case he dies in there, he can be pulled up. Brethren, well, then we have the inner one, where the menorah, that the lamp is, where the table of bread is, and then we have the incense, that's there, and then we have the outer court. That was what God asked Moses to build, and he told him, make sure you build everything according to the specifications that were shown you in heaven. So heaven was open to Moses, and he saw everything, and he made sure he built that temple or that tabernacle according to those specifications. That was the first one. The second one was Solomon's temple. And you can imagine, David, a man after God's heart, planned to build a temple to house the Ark of the Covenant. But God said, look, no, my friend David, you've encountered so much. Your hands are soiled with blood. You will build it, but your son Solomon will build it. And Solomon built one of the most expensive temples in the world, the temple of God. And in there was the Ark of the Covenant. And then, brethren, we have another one built by Herod. So during the time of Jesus Christ, the temple that was there was that one, that was the one built by Herod to the Jews. So it's called the Herodian Temple. And you know what? The temple is divided in such a way that if you are a Gentile, you stay at the back. It is gratification. Like we heard in the sermon. The Jews, they have their court. They said the court of priests. That's where the priest will be. If you're not a priest, you can't go in there. Then we have the court of Israelites. If you're not an Israelite, you can't go in there. And then we have the court of Gentiles. That is where the Gentiles, you know, always come and then they leave. Brethren, just think about it. If it were to be our day now, if Christ had not come, can we go near that temple? We can't. We can't. But now, look at this. The prophecy says, I will raise up the tabernacle of David. All the historical fact about temples, David one was not mentioned. According to our text, we found out that no, David's tabernacle was not mentioned. Why? But God said that is the one he's going to raise up. There must be something spectacular, something different about this tabernacle of David. The first three tabernacles that I mentioned, or the temples, you could see that there were divisions. If it were to be today, you and I can't go in there. And the one thing is, it's mainly for sacrificial worship. You go, they kill the animal sacrifices, and then you worship. Brethren, Jesus Christ came, and he was made like one of his brethren. He didn't separate. He didn't divide people. Let's look at something in Hebrews chapter 2. He was in every way like us. No. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 11. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. Yes, he's not ashamed to call us my brother, my sister, or brothers, sisters. No! During the time of these temples, there were divisions. And look, a priest is a priest. Yes, when he's coming, yes. With all the dignity. An Israelite is coming. With all the differences, yes, you are an Israelite. Like the woman at the well who went and met Jesus. He said, you are an Israelite. Why do you ask a Samaritan for water? That means the difference is clear. You can easily see. Either from the way they speak or from the way they dress. That's the difference. But Christ came, be one. Like us, and it's not ashamed to call us brethren. Look, he is God, not man. He is God who came down from heaven to call us brethren. But we have the audacity to say, you are less and you are high. Hallelujah. present. This is the God we have. This is the God we have. In the Old Testament times, in the temple, there were nothing like singing. No. If anyone can show me a place in the Old Testament time in the temple where there was singing, I'll be very much happy. There wasn't. It was strictly the sacrifice, as I said. But Christ is saying the time is coming when he sits on his throne. There will be worship like the songs we just sang. How marvelous, how wonderful. When the servant, the king himself is a servant. Brethren, amazing grace. When we did not know, when he himself will lead us to the light. Let's think about that. If it had been the days of the temple, the days of Moses, I doubt where we will be. There's no hope for us. And so, we go back to our prophecy in Acts chapter 15, which was a prophecy made by Amos. Let's go to the book, the prophet Amos. Amos chapter 9. Amos chapter 9, verses 11. It says, on that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old. So when James quoted that, James was saying in effect that that time had arrived. Do you get it? When James quoted that prophecy, then James meant to say that the time had arrived. That the tabernacle of David should be raised up. Now, let's see what the tabernacle of David is. We all know David, who is the man after God's heart. After many exploits, and after the death of Saul, he became king of Israel. And when he became king of Israel, he decided to find a place for the Ark of the Covenant. And so, on Mount Zion, he built a tabernacle. On Mount Zion, where the next signature of it, on Mount Zion. And what he planned to do was to transport the ark to Mount Zion, where the tabernacle is. And do you know what? In that tabernacle, there were no divisions. There were no divisions. Rather, we will see. Let's look at the story from 2 Samuel. Because there are many lessons in there for us to learn. 2 Samuel chapter 6. It is again, from verse 1. Again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from early Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the ark of God on the new carpet and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new carpet. So now, we are bringing the cup from Abinadab's house. And Abinadab's two children, or two sons, they were guarding the cup that was carrying the Ark of the Covenant. 4. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord of all kinds, before the Lord, on all kinds of instruments, of fair wood, on harps, on string instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. That seemed nice, isn't it? Yes, they were praising God. Something that's never happened before. David gathered this man, 50,000 of his men. That's a nice idea. Finding a place for the Ark of the Covenant. 6. And when they came to Nathan's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the Ark of God and took hold of it, for the organ stumbled. The organ stumbled. So it appeared the Ark was there to fall. And this gentleman, being a good-hearted man, wanted to help. Isn't it? It's also not a bad idea. That's a good idea. He cares. Isn't it? 7. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him dead for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. We say, God is a harsh God. But brethren, was that the right thing to do? David had a very marvelous idea. Fine! But was it the right thing to do? According to, you know, at that time, they were still under the law. And the laws governing the carrying of what? The ark must be obeyed. And according to the law, only the priests were to do what? Carry the ark. There's a lesson for us. Some things may be right, fine, they may be good, fine. But is it our duty to do it? No! Who's that? The idea of trying to help is laudable. But that's not your job. No! That's not your job. Brother, there are times
when I visit our pastor, Barry. I said, boss, there are some areas I don't want to go there. And I wouldn't like to venture into those areas. That is not my job. There are some sermons that, those sermons are not my job to preach those sermons. Brethren, you get it. And I strongly believe there are also areas that, you know, that concern Mr. Henderson. He also wouldn't like to venture. I think we all have to know, you have to be in your lane where you're supposed to be. So this incident caused David to panic. 8. And David became angry because of the Lord's outrage against Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day. And he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? So David will not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but took it outside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Hittite. There are many times things happen to us. We don't see because our sense of sight or seeing, our sense of hearing or understanding is limited. Is it? And our sense of judgment also is limited. There are many things we don't understand, brethren. You see, David's intention was this. Since this thing killed this man, me taking it to my place, no, it won't come on. You see, take it to that my brother's house. Take it there. There are many times, you see, that's how I would say, circumstances and things happen to us. But I will encourage brethren that let us stand fair. When certain happens to us, let us stand fair. Yeah? Let us stand fair.
Probably they meant for us, you know, to be bad. But God knows how best to reward His people. Let's continue with our story. 11. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Hallelujah. Brethren, as always said, those who take good care of the law of faith will never be ashamed. They will never be ashamed. Today when I saw my little Louis playing the guitar, I said, yes, the blessings. Later we will see how the children of Obed-Edom were blessed. God will bless you, my brother, and that blessing will move on to your children. Yes. Whoever is here today, whatever you are doing for Christ will never be in vain. Paul said, your labor will never be in vain. Paul was taught by Christ himself. And if we who now read and then we learn, we have that idea that God will not let your labor be in vain. How much more when Paul said it? He knew why he said it. Because God revealed it to him. No, keep it up. Now, keep it up. Yes, and not only them. I know my small boy, Nathan, will also come. They will do greater things. We need them in the church, brethren. We need them in the church. We need them. That, you see, it has to continue. The generation has to continue. So he said, the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his household, and all his household. Not, he didn't even leave one. He said, all his household. 12. Now it was told to David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. Hey, the very thing I was trying to run away from, that very thing has caused blessings for my brother. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with what? Gladness. At this time, he did it right there. 13. And so it was, when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window, and saw King David leaping and quarreling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Whether they despise us or what, we will rejoice before the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, in the history of the temple, in the history of the tabernacle, there had never been a time of praise and worship like what David did. And when the priest carried the ark to the tabernacle, the ark was there like this. Brethren, let's say this is the ark. And the people were there singing praises, singing, dancing before the ark. And brethren, do you see a picture there? When he was on the cross, and he said, it is finished. Father, into your hand I commit my spirit. He said that what? The veil in the temple did what? Ripped from top. Brethren, you see? It ripped from the top right to the ground. Open the door for us to come before him. He always wants to be in the midst of his people, brethren. So you see, David's tabernacle was not like the one Herod built. No, it wasn't like the one Moses built. No, it wasn't like the one Solomon, his son, built. No, but he was the one that the people worshiped joyously, happy before the Lord. And that is what the Lord wants us to be, to come before him, so that we together will worship. Okay, let's look at something in Revelation. John saw something, and John became sad. Revelation chapter 5. He became so sad that he didn't know what to do. Let's start from 4. He said, so I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne, and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood the Lamb, as though it had been slain, having eyes, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a cup and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Your prayers, our prayers. And they sang a new song. They sang a new song. It is the Father's pleasure to be singing before him, worshiping him with songs. You see, David's tabernacle was one such that it touches the very heart of God with praise. When we come before God, brethren, to praise him, to worship him. You see, when you have a revelation of God, you are left with nothing other than to praise him. When the people of Israel came out of Egypt, the Jews have a story that when they were crossing the Red Sea, they went in, alright. When Moses lifted the rod, the waters didn't part. Yeah? One of Judah's sons, Nashon, I think he's the eldest, he went in first. And you know the meaning of Judah. Judah means what? Praise. You see, Judah became like the leader of Israel because of the name. He prayed, prayed, prayed. When you are in trouble, when you are in any difficulty, sing your praises to God. Right? And it was this gentleman who went into the water first. And according to the Hebrew, the Jewish historical, story, the fact he went in, until the water got to his neck. That means he's going to drown. And then the waters began to pass. Do you get it? Praise went in, and then the waters passed. Hallelujah. And so, David praises. And it is no wonder. Yesterday, I was reading The Day Today by Mr. Henderson. And he was talking about praise. And he quoted 2 Corinthians, 2 Samuel 15. That was the time David was in the wilderness You see, crying. But look at the next chapter. You will see David singing. You will see David singing. Brethren, the tabernacle of David had been rebuilt by Jesus Christ himself. It had been rebuilt on Mount Zion. We are no more on Mount Sinai. No. We've moved camp, brethren. We are now on Mount Zion, where the tabernacle of David is. Hebrews chapter 12. The writer of Hebrews says something. Chapter 12. Let's start from 18. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched, and that burned with fire, and to blackness, and darkness, and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Brethren, we haven't come to that mountain. That mountain is past. Yes. Those who were there at that time, they begged. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and tremble. Even Moses was afraid. 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, brethren. We have come to Mount Zion. We are now on Mount Zion. Hallelujah. Where David pitched his tabernacle. Hallelujah. And to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to the God, the judge of all, to the spirit of just men, made perfect. Hallelujah. This is where we are. This is where we are. When you are praying, say, Father, I am now standing on Mount Zion, I am no more on Sinai. And your praises and your worship will go straight to him. Because on Mount Zion, where David pitched his tabernacle, was a place of praise. Hallelujah. It was a place where you glorify God, you worship God through praise, through song, through the beating of drums. That's what I would say. Playing of organs, guitar, tambourines. Yes, like the one my sister is holding here. Yes, shaking it, dancing. Because we are on Mount Zion. Yes, flute. Yes, flute was mentioned. And you know what David did? Let's start something in 1 Chronicles chapter 25. Brethren, when we come before the throne of grace, let's come with all boldness, worshiping him. Yes. Let's look at something. The first verse says, moreover, David and the captains of the army separated for the service some of the sons of Asaph. You know Asaph, most of the sons. His name is David. To sing to the glory of God, of Heman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, hallelujah, with string instruments, like my boy Louis, and cymbals, like yours, the one you were holding, hallelujah. And the number of skilled men performing their service was of the sons of Asaph, Zachor, Joseph, Nathaniah, and Ephraim, blah, 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 blah. Right. You see, the tabernacle of David was a tabernacle of praise. There were no divisions. No. The priests, the people, everyone joined together to worship God. And now we have been made priests and kings unto our God. So that means our praises and worship should be more. Because we are priests and we are kings. David was a king and he was dancing. So we should be dancing. Hallelujah. The priest was dancing, happy. And our priesthood is better than this. Hallelujah. Today, we have to say, but when the urge came for me to preach on this, I told Pastor, I want to preach on this. They said, Kofi, do you have enough? I said, yes. So my prayer was that day, Father, you just gather everyone on that day so that we think. Rather, so that everything will think. And today, look, the God we serve is a faithful God. Hallelujah. The God we serve is a faithful God. Let them go and build their temple for God. God has always raised the tabernacle of David with praises, with worship before him. And that worship goes straight to the throne room of God. Because we join Jesus Christ in this worship to the Father. And brethren, we stand on a solid ground. We stand on Mount Zion, a mountain that cannot be shaken. No! On a mountain that its ruins have been what? Raised. It's not in ruins. No. All those big temples, the one Solomon built, the one Herod built, they are all in ruins. But the one built with praise stands on Mount Zion. Hallelujah.